It's Thursday, August 27th, and you're listening to a Best Of episode on Our Given Purpose, the podcast. While we are on break preparing for our next series focused on fear, we want you to remain engaged. What instructional sessions have you missed? What do you need to review? You have an opportunity as a person of purpose to continue your work, grow, and pass on your knowledge to others. Today's Best Of episode, The Arrogance of Self-Hatred on Our Given Purpose, the podcast, originally streamed on Tuesday, June 15th. All the links and resources associated with this exclusive mentoring session are available at OurGivenPurpose.com and in the show notes. Go ahead and download it now. Your experience begins. I am Tori, a certified life coach, business owner, and your host. I am here to help you clarify, organize, and prepare. Let's COP our purpose together. We are in season 4, week 7 of Elements of Arrogance and Pride. A list of all the questions asked in this mentoring session will appear in the show notes and at OurGivenPurpose.com. The Arrogance of Self-Hatred. I encourage you to read Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 through 18, as well as Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 15, as you do your clarifying, organizing, and preparing. We will use both of these passages of Scripture in today's exclusive mentoring session. A quick background on the book of Leviticus. It was written by Moses between 1450 and 1400 BC, focusing on a 30-day time span. Leviticus was written to the Levites and the ministry of these priests. Leviticus opens with the completed construction of the tabernacle. The general belief is that Moses received this revelation while on Mount Sinai in the wilderness. Leviticus sets down regulations to preserve the spiritual, moral, and physical purity of the people. Instructions are provided on how to live holy lives through sacrifice and worship. The major theme of Leviticus is sin, which is always detestable in God's sight. All sin must be atoned for and has through the shedding of the blood of Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. Let's open our notebooks, Bibles, and settle in to today's mentoring session. You are now an active participant in The Arrogance of Self-Hatred on Our Given Purpose, the podcast. So why are we using this particular passage to discuss self-hatred? Because it includes lessons for holy living or holy thinking. If you can, open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 19, and let's read verse 17, which says, "You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him." Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17, English Standard Version. Let us invite God into this space. Lord, we thank you for your word. We may think that you are not working, but God, you are our waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are the healer, the ultimate physician of our hearts. We ask you to make us faithful and effective with knowledge and wisdom. We know Christ is the eternal Word of God who communicates the majesty of God to us, who brings the message of salvation, who shows all the attributes and nature of the Father. We worship you in our words, our thoughts, our actions, and we know that you are with us in this discussion as we tear down the walls of bitterness, anger, pride, arrogance, and self-hatred. Please remove it from our hearts and renew a right spirit within us. We ask and seek renewal, Almighty Lord, our God. We desperately need you in our presence now and forever. In your name I pray, amen. What is self-hatred, and how is it manifested in the life of a believer? Proverbs 23:7 is another verse to include in your meditation and study time. This particular proverb is pointed towards what other people notice about our actions, such as our overindulgence. The view of yourself is seen and will be preyed upon. P-R-E-Y-E-D. Okay? So if those with authority notice your self-hate speech, they will turn it into evil. You will need to ask God to help you identify relationships that may be based on bringing down those in your community to make yourself look like a shining beacon of hope. Self-hatred often begins in the physical state. A person may come to hate their skin color, hair, age, or have a negative body image. They may regard themselves as failures who lack talents or resources, such as intelligence, personal connections, money, or influence. Those who accept the idealized standards of beauty, success, and power of this world will never be satisfied. Self-hatred or arrogance manifests through the words, actions, and behaviors we have. It is directly related to how we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. The cynical view we have of them, the constant contrast of sin versus holiness, we end up sinning against God because we hate ourselves. We don't have to deny our reactions, but become more aware of them. Because let's face it, it's sometimes hard to like even ourselves. But how will you directly experience the world and move beyond? A fresh experience equals what for you? How do you respond? This is what we will talk about this week on purpose: a commitment, a control, and a challenge, to go along with clarifying, organizing, and preparing. As we are moving through and really digging deeper into what makes us tick, what the roots are that need to be uprooted, what we need to take to the Lord in prayer, and the things that we actually need to be responsible for, as I said, we are in week 7. Last week, we talked about our scheduling and prioritizing God, and this week, we are pulling back the layers even further as we decide, as we choose, as we want to walk wisely with God. So let's talk about commitment. Commitment is an attitude of curiosity and involvement with life. Not backing down from conflict, but inquiring about it. The curiosity of solving the problem and understanding new things from a different perspective. Now, I've heard this concept explained as taking the same walk or driving the same route and noticing something different each time. The world is always changing. The commitment is our capacity to engage meaningfully with the newness rather than withdrawing into a separate sense of self or alienation. Where is the pressure to be perfect coming from? Who have you devalued, gossiped about, or slandered in order to make yourself feel worthy? You shall not hate your brother in your heart. What does your heart say about you? Let's move into control. Control means not feeling helpless. The renewal of the mind, the commitment to being curious about understanding. But you shall reason frankly with your neighbor. Reason, truth, talk, communicate. Not being a victim helps us create a positive outcome for ourselves. It is a choice to refrain from gossip that does not enhance a relationship. It takes maturity to comprehend the emotional and physical damage we as individuals could impart within the body of Christ. We have a choice to uplift or follow the adversary's methodology of killing, stealing, and destroying. Self-destructive attitudes divide the body of Christ. The challenge. We could maintain the status quo, dwelling in repetitive emotional reactions. Or we could run headfirst into conflict with our eyes wide open, ready to absorb the emotional impact. Embracing stressful experiences increases our ability to control our emotions. This is transformation. Make a conscious choice to deal with tension, stress, arrogance, and pride differently from those who embrace a victim mentality. Discussing challenging topics in an emotionally present state will produce an alternate outcome. We can empathize sincerely because we are listening and not becoming self-centered, alleviating double-mindedness. Trying to please our selfish pride and God affects our ability to be authentic. Being double-minded produces instability because we're chasing after glory, wanting to be the superhero. Lest you incur sin because of him. Hey, person of purpose, are you using your journal? How will you know what your thoughts are thinking if you never see what they are saying? Take a moment and write down your takeaways thus far, or compare your notes now to what you experienced in June. Have you grown? Please remember you can visit OurGivenPurpose.com anytime you want to use these podcasts, devotionals, and other resources as tools to inspire you. We hope you will connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Let someone else know you're enjoying this content by posting to your social media pages. Use the hashtag for Our Given Purpose so we can see what you've seen as well. We want to say thank you for all of those who have purchased and are wearing their Purpose on the Go merchandise. Have you visited our online store yet? If not, head over there after this session and grab yourself something or send a gift. This is one way to help Our Given Purpose, the ministry, continue to create quality content. We accept all major credit cards, including PayPal. Thank you for being part of the Purposeful family. Now, let's turn our attention back to a best of episode, The Arrogance of Self-Hatred, on Our Given Purpose, the podcast. Forgiveness, in a different perspective, is agreeing to live with the consequences of another person's sin. This means that someone who has forgiven you may be receiving or living through your consequences as well. So forgiveness is costly. We pay the price for the evil we forgive. We can arrogantly keep pushing for others to change their prideful ways, or we can operate in the freedom of forgiveness. For the remainder of our time, let's mind map a little bit using Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 15. We will clarify, organize, and prepare. A quick summary of Ephesians. It was written by the Apostle Paul between AD 60 and 61 from a Roman prison. He directed these instructions to the Christians at Ephesus. Paul presents an overview of the plan and purposes of God from the beginning of time. The privileges and unity that Christ gives believers prepare them daily for spiritual warfare. The passage of Ephesians that I'm going to read tells us why formation, commitment, and obedience is essential to us as believers. So if you're open Bibles, let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 15. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." Ephesians chapter 5, 11 through 15. Clarity comes when we acknowledge and recognize our sinful behavior and negative self-talk. I shared on Monday during our Purpose on the Go planning session that I felt an overwhelming urge to write out all of my thoughts. I had had an incredibly stressful day and desired peaceful communion with our Lord, but there was a huge mental block preventing me from authentically worshiping and praising God. So I stopped trying to force it and sat down to write. The energy that it takes to execute and focus on writing, it calms me. I invite you to do this exercise as well. Take 5 minutes and write down everything you are thinking. Don't worry about sentence structure or grammatical errors. Just let the words flow. When you're done, read your thoughts out loud. Now you know what your thoughts are thinking because you see what they are saying. To clarify, going back to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17, "You shall not hate your brother in your heart." What is hate? It is resentment, revenge, malice, and intense dislike. As you review your writing, look for statements with these emotions attached and take them to the Lord. Ask for healing. If you can direct these evils towards yourself, how are you treating others? We are to take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. We expose them by acknowledging the evil deeds our hearts want to commit. Organize. Anything exposed by light is visible. We can become better equipped to perform the tasks our Lord has set before us with a clean heart and mind. The unfruitfulness of self-hatred has been exposed. We can create new experiences to thwart the desire to remain in a place of comfortable evil, or the devil that we know. Finally, we are constantly preparing and seeking the Lord that we may walk wisely with Him. Only you can answer these questions and use these verses as a guide to conquer the negative self-image you may have. I pray for your healing and renewal as you live your life wholly unto God in mind, body, and spirit. To God alone be the glory. The challenge for today is for you to take 5 minutes and write down your thoughts, everything that you're thinking. If it's a color, if it's an exercise, whatever your mind is telling you, to actually write down all of the words. That is your challenge today. And then to go back and read over it to see how many self-deprecating thoughts you have. This is your self-talk. Are you self-hating? We know that that is not an image that God wants us to have, but it's something that the adversary is trying to evoke on us and wants us to then carry out into the motives, into our speeches, into our talks, into our communication, into our actions and behavior with one another. Vengeance belongs to God alone. We are not to seek revenge by slandering our brothers and sisters. Yes, things happen. Yes, we can be hurt. Yes, it is frustrating. It is tiring. It is exhausting to consistently want to do things for someone and never be appreciated. It wears our souls out when we are trying so hard to do what is good and what is right. But I tell you, if you're doing these things unto the Lord, it never, ever becomes a burden, because we are always seeking His approval for the things that we are doing. We are always going into communion with Him as we plan our days, as we ask and seek His guidance for the things that we need to do. That is our purpose. That is our assignment. When we decide to take on things without consulting our God, without cooperating with Him, when we do those things and we ask amiss, when we enter into those relationships and into those agreements with people that we had no business doing, we may be reaping the disastrous outcome. And we are now fighting with the enemy of flesh because we don't understand that what we did was sin. We sinned against God because we were doing what we thought was right in our own minds. I ask you today to read those verses, go back into Leviticus, go into Ephesians, get really quiet and ask God to remove any self-hatred that you have, to show you how to love and to forgive your brothers and sisters. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. People of purpose, purposeful family, I encourage you to use these mentoring sessions as a tool to build support as well as rapport within your circles. That synergy is one of God's greatest gifts to us and makes us relational. You've just actively participated in The Arrogance of Self-Hatred on Our Given Purpose, the podcast. We support your desire to clarify, organize, and prepare so you are equipped to walk boldly in your purpose. We impact the world by exploring God's good plan for us. Thank you, person of purpose, for continuing to move forward with your passion. We pray you will continue to walk in your godly aspirations planted in your spirit. We appreciated your feedback while we took a break and are excited to present Elements of Fear airing on Tuesday, September 1st. All the resources and links mentioned in this episode are in the show notes as well as OurGivenPurpose.com. We thank you for downloading and sharing this episode and for being a conduit of change. This is Tori of Our Given Purpose.